All right, we're in Luke 6, verse 30. Give to every man that asketh.
I had several incidents with that yesterday.
What?
I had several incidents with that yesterday.
What happened?
Well, I was getting asked all the time, it seemed like. It even got down to more subtle things where someone wants to get in your space and traffic, and they kind of give you this little notice, and sometimes I wouldn't let them or something. I found the most subtle things would pop up, and that scripture just worked on me all day long. I gave some money here and there. People were asking. I wouldn't. Then I'd remember, give to everyone who asks.
Probably inappropriate, but do you give as well as you get?
Give to everyone that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. Asketh is iteo. It means to ask, to beg. Let's look at two or three examples. Let's go to Matthew 7. Start in verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? So the asking for here is, in verse 9 and 10, is the child asking from a parent. The problem with prayer is timing. Timing.
What was the first part of the following?
The problem with prayer is timing.
Right.
Every prayer is answered. It's not answered. Sometimes silence is, the answer is no. But every prayer that you make is answered if you see correctly. What? Do you understand that?
You know, because so many people will stop praying if they don't get what they want. They pray, they don't get it, they say a prayer doesn't work. Prayer of God doesn't like me, I'm not a prayer person.
Right, because you ask to conceive it, to consume it upon your own lusts. Anyhow, that's the predicate of life, is that every prayer is answered. Doesn't seem like it a lot of times. But the scripture is clear. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And how many years I've been in this walk, every prayer has been answered.
Careful what you pray for.
Especially the one about saying to the world, the devil, and the flesh, take your best shot.
Yeah, that one's been answered.
That's been answered.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's look at another example. Let's look at in Acts 3.
Water.
Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them who entered the temple. Now, here again, it's to ask, here is this aetio, a beggar from a passerby. And Paul's, or their answer, Peter and John's answer was, and Peter said in verse 6, silver and gold have I none, but such as I give thee, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. All right, let's go one more. In Colossians 1. He didn't get what he asked for. He asked for alms. Kind of doubt it. All right, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And be filled is the... to desire is the same thing here as to aito, to ask. So what Paul is saying, he's praying and desiring or asking that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Filled with the knowledge of his will. So again, basically that's only been my prayer for the body since the day I began teaching. They would be filled with the knowledge of his will, that you would understand the riches of his inheritance in the saints. Okay, that's enough for that.
You know, just in response to that, you cannot even approach that without emptiness. The knowledge of his riches and his will and all that, there's no room for it, too.
That's right. All right, back to Luke, and it's in verse 30. And of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And again, that's this, take away anything. But let's look at two spiritual things a little bit. Let's look at John chapter 1. And Ronnie's saying, Big John? And I'm saying, yes. Chapter 1. Well, I can't find, I must have written down the wrong verse. But anyway, it's when Christ took away the sins of the world. He taking away the sins of the world is the same word. It's iro, take away anything. So if somebody takes something from you, it's nothing compared to what's happened. All right. But that's, and I can't find it. I wrote it down wrong. It must be John. It says, my note says John 1:9, but it isn't.
And what is the it?
Where Christ takes away the sins of the world. Yeah, 29. Thank you. Anyway, that's a spiritual example of this word, that taketh away or taketh anything. Let's go to Colossians 2. Verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sin and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. So he took away the law which was against us, nailing it to the cross. But the general use of this word is, if somebody, it's to steal, to take away something that you own. But anyway, I don't want you to look going there. And if ask them not, don't ask, don't demand anything back from them. I mean, forgive me for telling about me, but this has happened to me 100 times since we've been a community where I lent somebody something and they stole it. Well, somebody asked to borrow my coat. All right, now we're going to get 31. It's Luke 6. And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. Now this is called the Golden Rule. Let's see what Matthew said about it. Go to Matthew 22. Starting in verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And so the idea that you, what you want men to do to you, you do likewise to them, is essentially loving your neighbor. Right? Who's your neighbor? Whoever's near you. And that gets dicey because that was the whole issue of the Good Samaritan and helping. And everybody passed by the guy except the Samaritan, who was a bad guy in the worlds of the Jews. But anyhow, that was called the Golden Rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The Silver Rule, it's called, is one should not treat others in ways that one would not like to be treated. Now, for me, the Golden Rule has always bothered me because if I treated others like they wanted to treat me, that I want them to treat me, I would just have everybody leave me alone. But if the opposite side of the coin, one should not treat others in the way that one would not like to be treated, that one I can understand. Now Hillel, the great Hillel, who we've talked about many times, this is what he said. He said, that which is hateful to you, do not do to your fellow. That is the whole law. Everything else is commentary. And that's essentially what Jesus said, that love your neighbor as yourself, that on that hangs everything. That hangs the law and the prophets.
Oh, but
now even the Quran says, none of you truly believes until he wishes for his brother what he wishes for himself. There was a form of this in the Hammurabi's code back in Babylon. But on it hang all the law and the prophets. Everything else is commentary. Now think about that. The reason that the others, the silver and the Hillel and the Quran issue can't work is because nobody can do this unless they are loving, that the only one they love is the Lord. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. The only way you can do that is by your own total and complete emptiness. Then what happens? Then Christ in you fulfills the law of loving your neighbor as yourself. And so when you try to take the golden rule, the golden rule here in Luke, is there to cause you repentance. But in Matthew, he's showing you the mystery. You can have 1,000,000 opinions about helping people. And you can justify it all over the scripture. Except that it's never universal unless it flows from loving the Lord, loving God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. Otherwise, it'll be conditional help. Does everybody understand me?
Say it one more time.
In Hammurabi's code, and excuse me, dang. I've got. That's all right. In the Quran, in Hammurabi's code, in the Talmud, it's got what they call the silver rule. That which is hateful to you, do not do to your fellow. One should treat others in ways that one would not like to be, one should not treat others in ways that one would not like to be treated, et cetera, et cetera. The silver rule is, The silver rule I can do, I cannot treat others as I don't want to be treated. The golden rule I can't do, because the golden rule to me would mean that I would just be left alone. Now each one of you have a version of that. There's something about the golden rule that will offend you, it won't work. And that's why in order for it to have legs, it has to have that you love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your might. And then that will cause you to love your neighbor as yourself.
If it weren't that way, it would be self-fulfilling.
Yeah.
And that can't happen.
Does everybody understand me? The one, what was called the golden rule, is there for repentance. The silver rule you can do. But if I treated everybody the way I wanted to be treated, I'd be living in a cave.
You hadn't got over that yet.
No, I haven't gotten over that yet. I still haven't gotten over that. From my mind's standpoint, this place is my worst nightmare. I can't get over that. That's my mind. My mind will tell me that till it dies. My mind tells me all kinds of crap. I don't pay attention to it. Because you found another source. You found that the fulfilling the desire of your heart is far more important than fulfilling the desire of your mind. Because the desire of your mind, the type, your mind is Esau, it's of the flesh. And so no matter what you pour into your mind, it can never be full. It always wants more, even spiritual greed. That's why these guys, you hear them, you know, they have these chants they do in these crusades, and they get more, 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 more. And they're saying more of you, but it's saying what they're really just, they're trying to satisfy the mind's version of spirituality, and so they always need more. They need more. They need more.
And they think that's righteous.
And they think that's righteous.
It's almost so, like your mind.
What?
Soma, you know, all the Huxley's book, Brave New World.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Soma.
Yeah, yeah. What?
It's almost like your mind can't wait on him, but your heart can.
No, he can. You can't do anything.
The slippery slope here, though, is when you think you know what's best for somebody else. And you.
Oh, no question.
You know, you impose your will on them because you think, you know, that's what I like, so that's what they like too.
Well, here's the real slippery slope from experience. If you're still about, if you haven't understood, well, let me back up. If you still haven't forgiven yourself, then by definition, your actions will be tried, everything you do will have as a core self-redemption. And so you will think you're helping people, but you're really helping yourself in order to try to redeem yourself. And we've seen many examples of this. And so that's the antithesis of the golden rule. Because you're helping them to fulfill a need in you because you haven't forgiven yourself. So you're creating your own redemption, your own silver. And you do the same thing with the golden images. When you have an image of your of accomplishment, of something that you think you want, and you're convinced that accomplishment of it will give you life or give you purpose, you know, then your whole actions are colored by that. And so the slope is, if you ever think you're doing anything good, you're not. Is that if you ever think you're helping your neighbor, you're not. Well, let's go to Romans 7 real quick, and we'll just see a quick. Romans 7. One verse 21. I find then a law that when I would or want to do good, evil or the evil one is present with me. When I want to do good, evil is present with me. Because you want to do good. Now this is where this priggish self-righteousness comes from, and everybody recognizes it. This is when you, aha, I'm going to go find a homeless person and bring him to Oli. I'm going to find somebody with a big problem and bring him, blah, 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 instead of them dealing with it. then they get, it's the same as, remember when in the Talmud about Sodom and Gomorrah, they'd give them gold, but they have their name on etched into the gold. And so they had the satisfaction of giving, but they couldn't buy anything with the gold. And so they ended up dying of starvation or something, and then everybody got their gold back. That's sort of what... Sodom wasn't destroyed because of some sexuality issue. It was destroyed, if you believe the Bible, it was destroyed because they didn't meet the needs of the poor. So anyhow, this whole idea of the golden rule is a slippery slope. It's not you doing good. That's the bottom line. It's not you deciding how you want to be treated. So we'll study that a little more tomorrow. Back to Luke, one verse, just to put this in context. Verse 31, "And as you would that men should do to you, do also to them." That's got some issues. Amen? All right. Today is Friday, so we need all hands on deck. Take it, big guy.